Today we're going to talk about a really new exciting segment on photogrammetry. What is photogrammetry? Glad you asked. Basically, we can take our drones now and we can produce 3D images, so we can make 3D models of real world objects. So whether that's a building, a field, your house, your business, whatever, you can take your drone, take photos of your property and make that into a 3D image, or in this case, 3D model. With that being said, we're going to take it one step further and we're going to take that 3D model and 3D print it. So then you have your house in the palm of your hand. What use is this? I'm glad you asked. An example of what this can be used for is if you're a real estate agent and you're trying to sell a house, but somebody has a hard time seeing, they could be blind, etc. What you can do is that you can 3D scan the property, 3D print that property, and then they can actually feel the house with their very own hands. How cool is that? Now stay tuned for this exciting segment as we go over how to 3D print as well as 3D capture using photogrammetry. Let's take a look. So now that our drone's safely back on the ground, what we can do is head back to the studio, upload these images to the cloud, to the software, that will then stitch it all together into our 3D model. So that's pretty cool. Let's go take a look at that. Let's go. All right, now we're back in the studio here. I know this is a different building than we used before, but this one's a really nice example. So we're going to use this provided example here. So let's pretend we've finished flying, we did our little grid pattern or whatever we flew. Now we upload our photos to your provider. In this case, it's Drone Deploy, but it could be Pix4D or DJI. And then after it processes, you get something cool looking like this. So again, we have our ortho mosaic. So it's like a giant 2D map. So kind of imagine this as a more high definition Google Maps or satellite image, right? So this image here that you can see on this overlaid map, this is made of hundreds of images stitched together to make it look like it's a satellite image, which is really, really cool. It's a really cool program. But of course, with this, since there's GPS data within the files, so again, we have our geolocation data, we can do cool things such as measure distances. We can do different spot heights. We can do different locations. You can pin things. But this isn't just everything I'm going to show you right now. No, what we really want is this, and that is the 3D model of the environment. All right, this is what we're looking for. This is the cool looking 3D map, the 3D model that we have been able to create using our images that we've uploaded to our program. So pretty much, again, we take our photos, the program stitches everything together, and it's able to create this cool 3D file, this 3D model. Photogrammetry really is the future. And again, it's not perfect. Like again, going closer into things, we do have like a few little weird nubs and a few little errors. But again, you can correct those in Blender, or if you pretty much the more advanced drone you have, also known as the better camera, if you have FLIR or LiDAR or anything, that makes a much better high resolution image, a more accurate image. But again, today we're just using standard off the shelf drones. So hey, that's still a pretty nice, those are some really sharp looking lines. So now what we can do is that we can actually download this map, depending what program you're using, and we can export this as an OBJ file or another readable 3D file format, and we can actually import this into a 3D printer. So let's take a look at some images that Robbie gave us of him converting one of my files I did into a 3D model. All right, so before we turn into a 3D model, I just wanted to show what model I gave Robbie. So this is a house we shot a few years ago. You can take a look at this on sketchfab.com under Air Support Aerial Photography. That's my company. But as you can see, it's a really nice looking home, you know. The resolution is actually not that bad. This was shot with a Phantom 3 Professional. Again, there are a few errors, like this section right here. So this is, there was a tree right here, so we weren't able to get proper photos. That's why the program kind of freaked out in this corner here. But everything else is pretty, it did a really nice job. And again, the algorithms have become a lot more accurate these past few years. So chances are if we did this again, it would be a lot more accurate, even if we still use the Phantom 3 camera. And of course, you can add other details in like right here, just in Blender or other programs. So let's see how Robbie's program takes this .obj file and turns it into a 3D printer readable file. Let's take a look.
Thanks, Henry. We're going to dig into the software that's used to convert Henry's aerial photogrammetry into a 3D printable object, and we're going to send it to our 3D printer right after this. The software that Henry is referring to is called Ultimaker Cura. It's a free program. It's available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. And you can follow the links at cat5.tv/3dprinting in order to grab that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to open the file that Henry was showing us there. Now, keep in mind, Henry was looking at a textured file. So it had like the brick overlay and everything, all the coloring and all that stuff. What we're about to see is just the OBJ. So the object, just the actual 3D printing file. And bring that into Cura, and let's see what we find. Now, we got this little itty-bitty, like, what is this, a house for ants? All right, so it's put it up on its end. You can see how that is. So what I want to do is I want to rotate that. So I'm just going to click on it, click on the rotate tool, and bring it down 90 degrees. There we are. That's going to put it flat on the surface, but it's still this itty-bitty house for ants. So let's increase the size of that as well. And boop. There we are. So that's awfully big, like 200 millimeters. Let's bring it down just a little bit. Okay, so the first thing that I notice here is that we've got a lot of ground. See the earth around the building? We got some boulders here, some shrubs, and this guy here looks kind of messy. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to lower the position of the house a little bit so that we can push that ground into the build plate on my printer. I don't want to go too far because we don't want to like submerge the house. We just want to pull back some of that landscaping there so that we're not actually 3D printing the dirt. And there's that area where I think that's, is that where the, no, yeah, that's where the tree, where Henry was showing us the tree is. And it looks like a cave. So that's going to be rather interesting. A couple of quick mentions is, you know, typically when you're 3D printing, you're going to need supports if anything overhangs, because otherwise it's just going to droop and you're going to get this stringing coming down. So I'm looking for anything here that's going to overhang, and I don't really see much. There is this overhang here, and Kira is showing me some red to tell me that this might be a problem, but I think because it's such a small overhang, I think we're probably going to be okay to do it without supports. We don't need supports. You might think, well, we need to support the roof because, you know, the roof is like this. And if it's a hollow thing, then it's going to, you know, completely cave in. But the way Kira looks at this when it's slicing it is it treats this as a solid object. So rather than supports for the interior of the object, that's actually called infill. So there's a couple of things that we're going to set here. So if we did need supports, we're going to click on generate supports. I don't think we're going to. If I preview that, yeah, see the whole outside has now been basically covered in supports. So that would be a lot of stuff to trim away. And I think that's because of the fact that being that it's a 3D scan using just a standard camera, the edges are not quite perfect as you've seen there. So that's something that Henry might want to clean up before trying to 3D print. Let's turn off the supports, and I've got an infill density of 20%, and we were looking at about 14 hours to print with supports. My fear is just that that's a lot of supports to remove. It might be very difficult. Now, it's not, but it might be worth it. It's a hard thing to call. This is what it looks like without supports, but what I'm looking for is the infill density to make sure that the roof is going to be supported. So I'm going to pull down my preview here so that I can see inside what's being printed. So you can see that with a 20% infill density, that is placing these kind of their supports to hold up that roof as it prints, but without using, you know, 100% infill and wasting a whole lot of filament. That's going to take about 10 hours and 67 grams of filament. So if you're wondering, well, how much is that going to cost to print at that scale? Just go into your calculator. And I know that I paid $40 for the 1 kilogram of filament. So it's 4 cents per gram. And we know that this is going to be 67 grams. So that's $2.68 to print at this scale. And that's pretty big considering my Ender 3 bed is 220 by 220 millimeters. So what you're looking at there is, it is, let's see, 143 millimeters by 112 millimeters. So it's pretty big. I'm going to try scaling it down a bit so that the overhangs are not as big as they would be if it was 143 millimeters wide. So I'm going to make this about 50 millimeters width and see how that slices up with no supports. So it's going to be a lot smaller, but it's going to probably do a lot better without supports because we don't have such a pronounced overhang. And let's give that a go. I'm going to send that over to my printer and we'll see how she comes out.
It is. This is my house.
Aw, it's so cute.
I have always wanted to live in a tiny house. Everyone who knows me knows I'm a tiny house kind of guy, and this just proves it right here.
Okay. In all seriousness, though, Henry, the reason that I printed it so small, as I mentioned, was I wanted to see if it would print without supports, and it did, and it printed quite nicely, and it looks pretty good, but it's very, very tiny.
It is.
So I did decide to take it to the next level for you and throw something on the printer. And I sent another file, and here you go.
What
do you think of that?
Okay, that's
so
pretty cool.
Check that out, folks. Yeah. And I'll hand it to you. I just want to kind of show the B camera here just so that you can kind of see. I know
that is pretty remarkable.
I printed it in white filament for you because I thought, hey, maybe you'd want to prime it and paint it. But then I realized as I was running it that the cameras kind of don't like white filament. Because they white balance themselves and overexpose themselves.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing to me here?
That's crazy. That's tough. Our poor camera guy is just like, can't get it.
Seriously, like that amount of detail that you managed to get out of that 3D model, that's pretty amazing, eh?
Well, you took your drone up and just kind of, took it around and flew overhead.
Literally from the future, what you're able to see is that literally we just did our kind of grid patterns. We were able to take those photos, mash them all together in a blender, and out comes this.
Now, how hard was it? Now, when you sent me this, it was an OBJ file. So it was already a 3D ready, to print, as you saw. How hard was that to put together?
Oh, not at all.
From photos?
Literally, because the program that you're able to see through the feature...
Yeah.
Even if you use another one, I use Drone Deploy. Okay. I've also used PixWorks. There's so many awesome programs out there. But literally, you just download as and save it as OBJ. I believe there's a few other file types you can do, but OBJ is the more widely recognized.
It's pretty universal,
You can even open it up in Blender, things like that.
Right.
So it's great. So
Hold up.
Yeah.
If you can open it in Blender, that means you could take this house that you scanned and put it in a 3D movie that you create.
You could put it in Unreal Engine.
You could put yourself in it. You could put it in a game.
Yeah. So I've actually had this exact same model in Unreal 4 running. So like I could have like little fires around it, not that I'm planning on anything. Or you could have like a skybox. So there's so many applications for this.
So cool.
I mean, like, again, besides the 3D environment, so, like, video, photo, film, things like that.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned this before to you, that If I'm a real estate agent and I'm trying to sell a house to someone, right? And maybe they're blind. How do you sell a house to someone blind and describe the exterior?
Yeah, you mentioned that it's like, okay, well, you
now,
can actually feel,
exactly,
feel the house.
Now you can literally 3D print your house or the house or whatever, and you can feel what it looks like, feel
the
property.
And is that legit? Like, do people, like, maybe if some of our folks that have vision problems, would that be a benefit to you?
Would that be a selling feature for even just education, things like that,
yeah,
right? Like being able to do, like, historic monuments,
yeah,
or things like that?
I think, see, from my perspective, Henry,
yeah,
this does a couple of things, in that it captures buildings or whatever it might be, maybe landscapes or whatever, in such a way that it will last forever. As
it
you
does.
Say, you can throw it in an Unreal Engine with the textures.
Exactly.
And it will, even if the building disintegrates, it's forever
there.
Captured.
Well, that's the thing, is that there's a lot of famous stories about people going in the Middle East, and as you know, there's a lot of conflicts over there.
Mm-hmm.
But before a lot of these buildings and stuff were destroyed, people actually went in with photogrammetry kits, and they were actually able to capture all these older monuments, all these older beautiful places before they were destroyed. So yeah,
so good.
They're going to live on forever now in 3D format,
yeah,
where future generations can go and say, yeah, this is like
at
what this place is.
At the very least, they can see it in like virtual reality.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of,
and it's literally, I'm really excited. This is just the start of this technology. It's fantastic.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us, Henry. That's
Thanks.
Really, really cool stuff.
Thank you for printing it. It looks a lot more realistic in real life than it does on a computer.
And when you brought it up when you brought it up in with the textures and everything, it was very, very real looking.
That was really fun. And that was with an older version of that program. That the model that we used for this was around 3 or 4 years old.
Okay.
So the methods that the programs use now, their algorithms, are actually so much more accurate. And I'm using an older drone, right? So Phantom 3 Pro. My friend uses a Maverick. They have a Matrice as well. So like a $10,000 drone.
Wow.
Imagine how that looks, having like a full DSLR camera.
Unreal. Is this the same tech, like when I see on Google Earth?
Yeah, it actually is. So a lot of people think that you can use LiDAR or like FLIR things, which you can, and it makes it more accurate with using LiDAR and FLIR. But yeah, so Google Maps, Bing Maps, those guys, they literally just use photogrammetry. So they have multiple pictures from satellites.
Yeah.
Up in the great blue yonder, and they have similar programs that are able to stitch that together.
They're using satellite imagery to do what you're doing with a drone?
It's pretty much this, but on steroids, yeah. So instead of using a drone, they're using satellites and using amazing data, putting things together. And yeah, so whenever you see your house on Google Earth, and of course there are some AI, like some AIs are fixing a few errors here and there, but
sure,
when it comes down to it, yeah, that's the basics of how a lot of these companies are doing things now.
Cool stuff.
So, yeah.
Oh, I'm really keen to see how this brings real-world objects into...
Same here.
Things like video games. Like, I really think
is.
With virtual reality, to be able to...
Well, we actually already see this. A famous one that just came out is the new Microsoft Flight Sim, right? That, the entire 3D world is just Bing Maps. But it's just in a 3D environment. And for years, we've always had flight sim in Google Earth where you just use your arrow keys, but that's not a flight sim. But it's amazing to see where we're going with this technology.
Very cool.
So, yeah,
very cool. I understand this model is proprietary. So
yeah.
This is something that you shot professionally, and this is owned by the people who own the house, I presume.
Yeah, so just for privacy and copyright reasons, I'm not going to be releasing this variant of the model.
Yeah.
However, I do have another one. I'll get to that in a second. You can look on free websites. One of them that I'm featuring personally is sketchfab.com.
All right.
It's a 3D file sharing site. You can get free files. You can buy files on there. You can do a lot of different licensing opportunities as well. But there's a lot of very unique projects on there. I might make one of mine free to download soon as well. I did a local school public property, you know, during the summer.
Yeah.
But it's a great ability to have. Just download, play around with it. Even if it's not my file, but somebody else's file, like just play around with it. If you have a 3D printer, if you have a 3D program, just take things apart, stitch things, copy, paste, have fun with it. That's what this technology is for.
I want to say thank you so much to our Patreon supporters. You can follow us and become part of our fleet at patreon.com/category5. We greatly appreciate your support. It's how we're able to do the show that we do, and we couldn't do it without you. And thank you, everybody, for subscribing on YouTube and for being a part of our community. We've got our Discord server where you can chat with other people in the community. We've got a ton of ways to interact. And make sure you go over to our website, and you'll be able to follow along, figure out all the different ways to interact with us at category5.tv. Oh, and I should mention, there's 14 years worth of video.
What? I can binge watch all 14 years today?
Yeah, you probably could.
Yes.
Oh, enjoy that. Especially season one. It was dreadful. Hey, you take care. Have a wonderful week. Henry,
see you guys.
Great seeing you, man.
High five.
Bye-bye.